Everything you've always wanted to know about weather, but we're afraid to ask? Well, I don't know if it's exactly that, but tomorrow on CCO is the annual Weather Day. And it's the whole day will be devoted to the whys and whims of the seasons. And boy, of course, we certainly have it in this part of the country, particularly the violent aspects of the weather. Guests throughout the day will include John Graff, meteorologist in charge, National Weather Service, Twin Cities, Milt Lefevre, National Weather Service Evaluation Officer to talk about fire potentials and air pollution. Craig Sanders, National Weather Service hydrologist.
And Clifton Halsey, University of Minnesota, will be here also.
Okay, don't miss it. Tomorrow's All Day Weather Day on CCO. Time now is 7 o'clock from WCCO, Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Time for the CBS World News, brought to you by Northwest Orient, offering new direct service to Scotland and Scandinavia starting June 8th. Here's Dallas.
Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. Secretary of State Cyrus Vance and British Foreign Secretary David Owen are now in Rhodesia, hoping against hope for success on a mission that up to now has proved fruitless. Bernard Kalb reports from Salisbury.
Overcast weather, a slight drizzle, extra security precautions as Vance and Owen arrived here on their crucial mission to try to get Rhodesia to reverse its opposition to meeting with guerrilla leaders to work out a peaceful transition to black majority rule. The Secretary of State and the British Foreign Minister went directly to their opening session with Prime Minister Ian Smith and the three black moderate leaders who comprise the new ministerial council. Vance and Owen clearly do not expect to succeed on this one mission. In fact, Owen's strategy is not to ask for a flat yes or no from Rhodesia on an all-party conference. Vance's own feeling is that it may take weeks before the Rhodesians come up with a firm reply. In fact, some idea of the Anglo-American delegation's uncertain expectation is this: that if the United States were able to depart from here later today without a flat rejection, even that would leave Vance feeling encouraged. Another indicator of the tense reality here is that one of the black leaders on the council says that he is convinced that the United States and Britain are biased in favor of the guerrillas. Bernard Kalb, CBS News, Salisbury.
From Salisbury, Secretary Vance flies to London, then to Moscow for disarmament talks. His plane will make a refueling stop today in Cairo, and it's reported unofficially that Vance plans to meet there with Egyptian Foreign Minister Mohamed Kamel to discuss the impasse between Egypt and Israel over steps toward peace in the Middle East. UN Secretary General Kurt Waldheim is in Beirut today, and Mike Lee tells us about his mission there.
Waldheim clearly wants a faster Israeli withdrawal from southern Lebanon. Today landed in Beirut to consult with Lebanese and Palestinian leaders on ways of ensuring an effective UN peacekeeping role once the Israelis have pulled back. 2,500 of the projected 4,000-man force is now in place in the south, but the Israelis still control most of the so-called security belt they captured in the eight-day war of last month. In addition to conferring with President Sarkis on the issue of Lebanese sovereignty in the south, Waldheim will talk with commando leader Yasser Arafat in an effort to get Palestinian assurances that the south will not be repopulated by guerrillas if and when it's put under UN and Lebanese control. The PLO has pledged its cooperation to the UN, but has not promised to refrain from infiltrating its old Fatah land. Mike Lee, CBS News, Beirut.
Waldheim told reporters at Beirut Airport that the two-stage Israeli withdrawal from parts of southern Lebanon last week did not meet UN wishes because, he said, it was only partial. Waldheim wants Lebanese sovereignty restored quickly in the southern regions. He says that's the main issue of his talks in Beirut. Unofficial reports reaching Jerusalem say tractors have resumed work at a six-month-old Jewish settlement in the occupied West Bank region after a five-week freeze on construction.
Northwest Orient, get that good, comfortable feeling. White cabins in the sky.
Georgia, Alabama, the Carolinas. Northwest gives you a great way to the heart of the South. Take their 7 a.m. nonstop to Atlanta for easy connection to eight major cities, including Greenville, Spartanburg, Huntsville, and Charlotte. In all, Northwest offers three nonstops daily to Atlanta, including the only DC-10 service. For reservations, call a travel agent or Northwest.
Get that good, comfortable feeling. White cabins in the sky. Fly the white cabin airline. Northwest Orient.
33 degrees.
A few hours from now, the Senate begins its next to last day of debate on the second Panama Canal Treaty. And Neil Strausser reports that uncertainty persists over the outcome.
One day before the final treaty vote, there is yet no public agreement on the non-intervention reservation needed to salvage the treaty in the Senate and in Panama, and some disagreement about the progress. After treaty managers met yesterday with the Panamanian ambassador, one source told CBS News, "I really think we've got it nailed down. We've got language we agree on, that Dennis DeConcini and some of his supporters agree on, and that we're reasonably sure Panama can agree on." He said the last T isn't being crossed, just to keep others from getting into the act. But DeConcini, the Arizona Democrat, told CBS News he has not seen any language that doesn't undercut his reservation to the first treaty, which insists the U.S. can do anything necessary to keep the canal open. If DeConcini cannot be satisfied, he may take two or more other votes with him. On the other hand, if the language added is not considered, in the words of treaty manager Frank Church, just and fair to both the U.S. and Panama, then a number of strong pro-treaty senators have agreed to vote against the second treaty. Either way, it could mean defeat when the final vote comes at 6 p.m. tomorrow. Neil Strausser, CBS News, Washington.
The Senate debate is being broadcast live throughout Panama, and David Dow reports on the pre-vote atmosphere there.
Panama has begun what its leader, General Omar Torrijos, called the countdown to tomorrow's Senate vote on the final canal treaty. And as the countdown began, the Archbishop of Panama, Marcos McGrath, appealed for a sense of responsibility so as not to stir adverse reaction to the treaties. Church leaders and a wide range of other Panamanian groups who oppose the DeConcini reservation to the first canal treaty are hoping for a Senate solution before tomorrow's vote that will make the treaties palatable again, even with the DeConcini reservation. Perhaps something in writing asserting U.S. intentions not to intervene in Panama's internal affairs. Classes resume today on Panamanian campuses after a prolonged Easter recess, and a coalition of leftist student groups opposed to the treaties has announced plans for protest marches today and tomorrow. But the atmosphere in Panama is largely one of surface normality, with nearly 15,000 Panamanians finding time from their thoughts on the canal issue during the weekend to attend a prize fight for the World Featherweight Boxing Championship. David Dow, CBS News, Panama City.
A restaurant near the American Embassy in Panama City has been featuring a recent addition to its menu. In the English translation, it reads, "Broiled DeConcini. Eat it without reservations."
Our environment. From the beginning, man has sought to control his fury, to harness the elements and make them servants for the good of everyone. Today, few companies are as dedicated to this philosophy as Toro, one of America's leading manufacturers of systems and equipment that affect the environment of our lives. From irrigation systems that help parched land become fruitful, to snow removal equipment, to machinery that makes our lawns and gardens lush and verdant, Toro has found success. And part of that success depends on moving materials quickly and efficiently in Toro's numerous manufacturing plants. To do the job, Toro depends on Caterpillar lift trucks from Ziegler. Cat electric lift trucks perform dependably with little downtime. So when it comes to the bottom line at Toro, Ziegler's and Caterpillar lift trucks come out on top. Ziegler, Caterpillar lift trucks in Minnesota.
43 degrees, 8 after 7.
The New York Stock Exchange begins a new week this morning with a lot more people than usual waiting to see what will happen after the opening bell. Ray Brady tells us about it.
The big question this morning will be whether the stock market can keep up that explosive rally of last Friday that set a record in trading volume. It's a question no one can really answer. Friday's publicity, the headlines on front pages across the nation, could pull in more stock buyers and push prices still higher. But it's also likely that after such a sharp run-up, the market is going to pull back for a while. If not today, then sometime in the next few days. But whichever way the market goes, most analysts feel stock prices could work their way higher. As they point out, markets move in two stages. First, you get a peak in trading volume, such as on Friday. But not until days later do you get a peak in stock prices. They're also saying this proves there's a lot of money on the sidelines. It will come in when conditions are right. And that means one of these days, the market could score a long winning run. Ray Brady, CBS News, New York.
The U.S. dollar picked up strength today on the European foreign exchange markets and also in Tokyo, and the price of gold sagged noticeably, opening in London $3.40 an ounce lower than it was quoted at Friday's close. The Japanese finance ministry reports that Japan had a record trade surplus of more than $20.5 billion for the fiscal year that ended last month, almost double the surplus for the previous fiscal year.
How you feeling?
Fine. Twin City Federal is a friend of mine, saving money all the time. How am I doing? Doing fine.
Thinking happy, having a happy day, the Twin City Federal way.
The free gifts and beautiful bargains in leather and luggage at Twin City Federal ends Friday, April 21st. Come make your choice by Friday.
Thinking happy, having a happy day. Twin City Federal Way.
10 after 7, 43 degrees in the Twin Cities.
Today comes the 82nd running of the Boston Marathon, a grueling 26-mile race in which many will start and not so many will finish. Richard Threlkeld tells us about it.
There will be almost 4,700 official entries in the Boston Marathon, including 227 women and even 20 wheelchair marathoners, and a 25-year-old man by the name of Roger Reynolds, who broke almost every bone in his body in a parachute accident 4 years ago. Doctors told Reynolds he'd never walk again, but Reynolds will celebrate his birthday today by running the distance. But there's an even more remarkable entry, the Boston Marathon's institution, Johnny Kelly, who at age 70 is running his 47th marathon. He's been running in competition for 50 years. He won the marathon twice a generation ago, and he figures he's run the equivalent of twice around the world in training. Johnny Kelly is so well known now, he has to finish the race every year because the crowd is always waiting for him at the finish line.
It makes you cry. It brings tears to my eyes of appreciation. I come along in the last few miles, and they come out, and they're screaming, and they're waiting for me because people over 40 or 50, they identify themselves with me, see? I'm one of them.
Johnny Kelly ought to take about 3 hours and 24 minutes to do this year's marathon. He'll be way behind some runners, but way ahead of a whole lot of others. Richard Threlkeld, CBS News.
Indian Prime Minister Morarji Desai told his parliament today that the loss of a nuclear monitoring device in the Himalayas 13 years ago occurred during a mission carried out jointly by India and the United States, and he said that at the time it had the approval of the Indian government at the highest level. Retired General Lucius Clay, one of this country's most distinguished military figures of the recent past, died last night at his home in Chatham, Massachusetts, at the age of 80. Clay supervised the celebrated Berlin airlift in 1948. Mrs. Wendell Willkie, widow of the 1940 Republican presidential candidate, died yesterday at her home in Rushville, Indiana, at the age of 87.
Here's good news for business travelers. Northwest Orient Airlines is reducing first-class fares in the continental U.S. starting May 22nd, subject to government approval. To San Francisco, for example, you can save $92 round-trip compared to regular first-class fare, or save $68 round trip to New York. And there are no restrictions of any kind, no qualifications to meet. With the new reduced fares, Northwest makes first class more affordable on all their flights in the continental U.S. So move up to first class for less and enjoy more room to work or relax. Complimentary beverage service too. For reservations, call a travel agent or call Northwest.
Get that good, comfortable feeling. White cabins in the sky.
The
Environmental Protection Agency this morning fired a new gun in its war against the pink bollworm moth. The EPA announced approval of a pesticide known as Glossy Plure, a chemical duplicate of the natural mating scent emitted by female bollworms to attract the opposite sex. When Glossy Plure is applied to a cotton field, we're told, it so saturates the air with the artificial scent that male moths become confused and rarely find females with which to mate. Will this do in the pink bollworm? Well, we'll simply have to wait and see. Dallas Townsend, CBS News.
Say, did you know that there's a big difference in the way windows save energy and money? That's what Minnegasco says, and they ought to know. That's why you should know that Minnegasco recommends Monterey windows. They're the windows that were proved most energy efficient among the top 9 brands tested at a leading university. All the other windows were the popular triple track type, and they just could not perform as well as Monterey storm windows. In fact, Monterey windows are up to 8 times more efficient than ordinary triple track designs. So even when they cost more initially, they can still save more in the long run. Remember, Monterey windows gave top results at a university, and they can do the same for your home. And all Monterey windows meet the tight air infiltration specifications in use by several federal and state agencies. Call your nearest Minnegasco appliance store. They'll tell you how to save on your energy bills, and that's why they'll tell you about windows made by Monterey, a subsidiary of DVAC. Windows for comfort and convenience and conserving energy. Monterey. It's 7:15, Twin City temperature 43 degrees. And the morning news continues. This is Howard Viken with a local and regional report brought to you by Standard Oil.
At Standard, our job is you.
Fire reported this morning in the roof of the Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Mankato. The first call came in about 6:30 this morning. Smoke was billowing from the building when firefighting crews arrived. Barricades have been set up around the building. It's not known if anyone is inside. The church is reported to be the largest church building in the city of Mankato. A fire early yesterday did about $30,000 damage to the Kellogg Senior High at Little Canada, Minnesota, near the Twin Cities. Superintendent Lloyd Nielsen says 3 classrooms in the 5-year-old building were severely damaged. In St. Paul, a 2-story apartment building was destroyed by a fire yesterday morning. The building was not occupied and no injuries reported. Damages run from $50,000 to $75,000. Nearly 70 square miles of farmland are flooded now in the Red River Valley, but the river has reached its crest at several points. The Red crested yesterday at Drayton, North Dakota, some 35 miles from the Canadian border, and a crest is expected about midweek at Pembina. That's the last major population area before the high waters move into Canada and the river empties into Lake Winnipeg in Manitoba. The crest at Pembina this week is expected to be about 8 feet over flood stage. Water is receding slowly now at Grand Forks and Fargo. National Guard troops who are on duty in the Grand Forks, East Grand Forks area have now been sent home. Tragedy yesterday as some 3,000 members of the Minnesota Motorcycle Riders Association were delivering toys to the Faribault State Hospital from the Twin Cities. A sickle driven by 40-year-old Thomas Burton of Savage struck a chain at a weigh station along Interstate 35 in Lakeville. Burton was killed. His 27-year-old passenger, Linda Schwartz of St. Paul, is hospitalized with head injuries. And a 22-year-old Plainview man was killed yesterday when his car went out of control on a Wabasha County road. The victim was Michael Murphy. Authorities in Hastings, Minnesota, are looking for a blue pickup truck that struck and killed a rural Prescott, Wisconsin man yesterday morning. The victim was 49-year-old James Schaumer, who was crossing a street when he was hit in all 6 traffic deaths reported in Minnesota over the weekend. The time is 18 after 7. Our Twin City temperature is 6 Celsius. That's 43 Fahrenheit.
My car engine knocks so bad it sounds like a riveting gun.
Every time I accelerated, the pinging infuriated me.
Even 2 knots didn't help.
I'm a Standard dealer, and they're talking about the knocking or pinging sound a car's engine sometimes makes when accelerating or pulling a heavy load. Some car owners actually want to retard the spark to keep the engine from knocking. What that does is waste gasoline. We'll get the car back in tune, and Amoco Premium Lead-Free is made to stop engine knock. If your car's in tune but still knocks or keeps running after you turn off the key, it doesn't need engine work. It needs higher octane fuel, like Amoco Premium Lead-Free and the Gold Pump. If it doesn't have performance problems, use the Midwest's best-selling lead-free Amoco and the Blue Pump.
Hey, that Amoco Premium Lead-Free works like a charm.
No more knock.
One full tank made all the difference.
See your independent Standard dealer for the lead-free choice. You expect more from a leader.
A big controversy is developing over the proposed temporary closing of a bridge linking Clearwater and Clear Lake, Minnesota. A public hearing to discuss the matter is set for tomorrow night at Clear Lake. The Minnesota Transportation Department says the bridge over the Mississippi River there will have to be closed in June and July for repairs, that it will not be possible to keep one lane open. Residents of the two cities say they would have to drive 25 miles to cross over without the bridge. For the last several months, independent Republican David Durenberger has been running for governor of Minnesota, running second to Al Quie for his party's endorsement. Now Durenberger has to decide if he wants to change horses in midstream and run instead for the U.S. Senate. Over the weekend, he talked with our government correspondent, Art Johnson.
As we chatted following Durenberger's speech at a weekend IR convention in Walker in northwestern Minnesota, Dave called the idea of running for the Humphrey Senate seat an intriguing opportunity.
This might be the better race to win. Not that we aren't going to win both of them, but it's a very different kind of a race. The race for the Wendy Anderson seat is going to be, to a degree, at the emotional level rather than at an issues level. I haven't heard any issues really discussed in that campaign yet, but I'm sure that's coming. Don Fraser is a person who feels issues strongly. It's just been my feeling that his political philosophy is way out, up on the upper left-hand corner of the state of Minnesota, and hardly in the mainstream of political thought of the people of the state, when mine is. And what I would like about a campaign against Don Fraser is that it would be on the issues. And it'd be an exciting thing, I think, for the Hubert Humphrey seat to be contested by two people who could discuss the role of government in our lives and our own political philosophies.
I've heard you campaign with more fire than you had today. Was that fatigue?
It may have been a bumpy airplane flight from Owatonna to Walker, Minnesota. I think in part in the last week, while I have enthusiasm for the subject matter, I'm being torn by the desire that I have to perform my public service, but not knowing sure which way to go on it. So maybe some of that is mental fatigue.
So we'll be watching for that announcement, and my impression now is that Dave Durenberger is leaning toward the Senate race. Harv Johnson, WCCO Radio, government correspondent.
Six jurors and two alternates have yet to be chosen in the Roger Caldwell murder trial being held at Brainerd, Minnesota. Six jurors were selected last week, even though the process was slowed by over a dispute about whether the news media and public should be allowed in the courtroom. The state Supreme Court kept the doors open. The 44-year-old Caldwell is accused in the murders of Duluth millionaire Elizabeth Congdon and her night nurse. A 26-year-old Nicolet County woman is expected to be charged today in the shooting death of her husband Saturday night. 27-year-old Glenn Porter of rural Nicolet was shot to death at his home near Swan Lake shortly before 9 in the evening. The time now is 7:22. Twin City temperatures 6 Celsius. That's 43 Fahrenheit.
Miss Jones, come in, please.
Yes, Mr. Wishbone.
Miss Jones, did our new copier come in yet?
You mean our new 3M secretary, too? Yes, it came in yesterday.
Oh, good, mm-hmm. Good. I want five copies of this sales report for the board meeting. Okay. No, make it 10 on the company letterhead.
Company letterhead. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
What about an overhead transparency instead? You know, old Crenshaw, he can't see. You got to watch it.
Overhead transparency. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Miss Jones?
Let me guess. Plain bond, both sides?
Well, no.
Offset masters?
No, maybe ledger stock.
Oh, why not label stock?
No. Blue color stock.
You're sure?
Yes, on letterhead. I'm sure. Please, now hurry.
If you want your office communications to be handier, get the copier that prints on almost everything but your hand. The versatile Secretary 2 copier from 3M.
Your lunch and your report, sir.
Well, yeah. Where's my report?
Copied on your lunch bag.
It's very good.
Talk with the copier people at your local 3M Business Products Center. It's listed in the yellow pages.
The forecast for the Twin Cities, increasing cloudiness today with a chance of rain and possibly a thunderstorm by late afternoon. Rain with a few thunderstorms tonight and tomorrow. High today in the Twin Cities mid-50s, low tonight near 40, and the high tomorrow near 50. Winds will be southeasterly, 15 to 20 miles an hour. Now, the probability of measurable precipitation for the Twin Cities, 20% today, going up to 80% tonight and tomorrow. Now, the barometer's falling from 30.11 inches, relative humidity 53%, the wind southeast 12 miles an hour, and our Twin City temperatures 6 Celsius, that's 43 Fahrenheit.